welcome to Think Rant. I'm John Stabler.
And I'm Steve Brett.
You can contact us at the usual address, that's stabler.tv for the blog.
Or on Twitter at ThinkRant. And leave your feedback and comments for us there.
Steve, this week's been awesome. And today in particular has been awesome. I'm in a really ranty mood. So much stuff today.
Yeah, you've been kind of fired up, haven't you, prior to the...
People winding me up left, right and centre. They must know. They must think, John's doing his podcast tonight. Let's wind him up.
Let's fire him up. Well, in that case, then, I think you should go first.
Right.
And hit us up. Let's get straight into the action.
We'll go straight into it. This one I saw almost immediately last week after the podcast, which some people are probably thinking, you know, WTF, I think, is the term. and this is an unfortunate story, but I think one that has an important lesson. Groom accidentally kills wedding guest.
Yeah, I saw this one as well. This is, this is good.
Yeah, I mean, at first, I don't know why the first reaction is to maybe have a little bit of a snigger, you know.
I only have a snigger because I've heard the story, which, as tragic as it is, it's certainly one which I think is up there with the Darwin Awards, really.
Yeah, but unfortunately, Darwin Awards is where the person kills
themselves. Yeah, yeah.
Therefore, doing a favor.
Maybe Darwin Awards by association or something.
Yeah, yeah. Three members of a wedding in Turkey. Now, I mean, this the first thing that hit me here was I didn't realize they had these lax gun controls. But we're not just talking about he accidentally fired off some handgun or something. No, he slipped with his AK-47. Now, possibly, you know, AK-47, possibly one of the most devastating assault rifles ever created. And he thought, I know, how am I going to celebrate the happiest day of my life? I know. Let's take my favourite rifle out and fire it wildly around. He lost control of his rifle. According to the report, I'm not quite sure how you can lose control of a rifle. I mean, either you've got to be pointing it at something, or at least holding it in the air.
Yeah.
Spraying his guests with bullets and killing his father and two aunts. Now,
if it's his in-laws, I can understand it. But you know,
I was about to say the same thing. I was like,
it's actually his own father and aunties. You know, it's a bit tragic.
And injuring six others, and I believe some of the ones he injured included children.
Do you think he's like, damn, I missed the mother-in-law?
He obviously, you know, he hit the wrong side, you know? He thought his family were on the left and his...
Yeah, well, when you're facing the altar, you know, that's one way. When you turn around, it's all reversed, isn't it? You know, it's all back to front.
Apparently, according to this report, in this part of Turkey, guns are often fired into the air in celebration. So, you know, I just... For me, when I celebrate, the last thing I want to do is pick up a firearm. You know, I mean, I've seen the movies. You know, maybe if I had a revolver and I was a cowboy in, you know, the West, I can imagine firing a gun into the air. But an AK-47, it's very, you know, what's the kind of Hollywood movies would portray as a kind of,
yeah,
you know, jihadi kind of.
Yeah, yeah, I think, yeah, it's fair enough.
So. Oh dear. So, you know, do you think after that he's going to realise that maybe owning guns and treating them as some kind of cheap firework is a good thing? Do you think he's going to renounce his AK-47?
Maybe he will, because, you know, at the end of the day, he's killed his own father. So, possibly, he may look back and think, maybe that's not such a good idea.
Yeah, and I mean, this is... Or, you know, one of the oldest arguments against, you know, civilians carrying weapons. It inevitably ends in this kind of thing. Not always, obviously, but there's a lot of stories of unnecessary deaths due to guns.
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, it is a tragic accident. The guy's not set out to do it, but I just think it goes to show that actually guns do kill people, not rappers.
I can't believe you had to get that in. In the States, you know, a lot of people look at it as their, you know...
Their sovereign right, don't they?
Yeah, it's their constitutional right to bear firearms. Now, I don't know where exactly that originated from.
I think it's part of, I think it's actually part of the First Amendment that, you know, every man has the right to bear arms.
Yeah, but do you think that, you know, the Founding Fathers had it in mind that, you know, you'd be having...
Well, yeah, I don't think the Founding Fathers realised that gun technology was going to advance as far as it had. I don't think the Founding Fathers realised that actually there were going to be quite as many people as there are in the United States. And, you know, I don't think... I guess they lived in a more innocent age in some respects.
They were probably expecting everyone just to maybe keep a, you know, a small rifle or something.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking about looking for protection from animals, because let's not forget, you know, Founding Fathers had to contend with quite a lot of nasty animals in America, who they've now all wiped out. And, of course, the Indians, who they've also wiped out. So, you know...
This was against the British as well, obviously.
Obviously, who they also kicked out. So, you know, there's obviously, you know, them having the weapons, there was obviously a reason for it.
But it was to be part of a militia. So, yeah. You know, should they ever need to
raise up.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, now that's become enshrined in, it's almost doctrinal for some people. Charlton Heston, for example.
Hmm. But going from keeping a weapon to repel an invading army, you know, like something decent like an assault rifle, to owning, well, I mean, they include rocket launchers.
Yeah, absolutely. It's insane. It is absolutely insane. I mean, you know, the gun laws of America are a bit crazy, really.
Yeah.
And obviously Turkey as well.
Well, AK-47, that's just a bit too crazy for me. Okay, so... Are you...
Yeah, I've got a story I'd quite like to talk about. I actually posted it on our webpage and put some notes up on Twitter as well. I was quite surprised actually not to get a bit more of a response from it. But it's the story of palliative care, not surgery, for the most obese, which is a viewpoint by Dr. David Haslam, who's a GP specialised in obesity care. And the basic crux of the story was that... And this is in its very simplest terms, but fat people with very little going for them in terms of they're practically terminally ill, as opposed to a fat person who's got a chicken of their life, who should get the care in the form of a gastric band, because the treatment, the gastric band treatment, is a complex procedure which only a few number of surgeons can actually compete, and the demand is outstripping the need. So who decides who's worthy and who decides who should get the treatment? The example used in the story is of an old age pensioner, 62, called Doris, who's got a BMI of 72, is housebound, has heart disease and chronic leg ulcers, still smokes 40 cigarettes a day, can't get out of the chair. But she needs to lose weight. If she lost weight, her quality of life would go up, because she'd become more mobile. It would help her osteoarthritis. Against Sean, who's 38, who's married with two young children, has type 2 diabetes, has got a BMI of 35, and has got a terrible prognosis. You know, obviously playing the sympathy strings, really. I mean, the doctor who's written the article says he can look forward to a future of weight gain, blindness, heart disease, and the prospect of an early death, leaving his wife to support their children alone. And he's saying that under the current rules, Doris, who's the housebound lady, would be the priority for the treatment, because she's got sleep apnea and weighs enough to fulfil the local guidelines, whereas Sean doesn't. So this doctor is arguing that actually Sean should get the treatment, not Doris, because Sean is more deserving because he doesn't smoke and he has got a better quality of life and better potential for quality of life, is the basic argument. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely interesting. And I thought, you know, with medicine, I thought, you know, they took the Hippocratic Oath or whatever. And the idea was, you know, you just want to try and help everybody, no matter what. And so, you know, as a general rule, I know it's an ideal that might be hard to live up to, but I think it's a great ideal nonetheless. Now, what we're talking about is we're trying to say, right, we've got finite resources, okay?
Yeah.
Should we be prioritizing them? And you know, just with your obesity example, I mean, that's just one example of a lot of different
Oh yeah, absolutely. I
circumstances.
mean, this, I mean, for me, this was the tip of the iceberg, obesity, because where does it stop? I mean, do you then say we're going to withdraw treatment for people who smoke, and you know, get lung cancer or heart disease, you know, drug users,
Yeah,
you
no,
know,
definitely, definitely.
where does it stop? Now, I guess my thought on it is really, is if somebody needs surgery, they need surgery, and we shouldn't judge them on their lifestyle
Yeah, it's kind of
necessarily.
difficult. I mean, I believe in the States they already have a kind of priority system when it comes to things like donor organs and things like that, where, you know, if you need a new liver because you're an alcoholic, if you continue to drink rather than stop drinking, say, you know, that can push you down further down the list because you're not.
You're not making the effort to change your ways,
Yeah.
and if you have the treatment, well, you may fall back into your old habits. And
Yeah, you don't want to destroy another liver, do you?
I do totally understand that. I totally see that point of view, and the story in this particular article, I totally get it. I totally understand it. But using the example from here now of Doris being at home, her quality of life would improve no end by having the gastric band. Okay, she's still going to smoke 40 a day. She's still going to have osteoarthritis. She's still going to have difficulty moving around. But when she actually loses weight, she will be able to move around more, and her final years, if it is to be that, will be more comfortable. And who are we to deny that? At the end of the day, she's been a taxpayer all her life. Why should she be exempt from treatment?
No, and even if she wasn't a taxpayer, why should, you know, if there is, you know, if there's something a doctor can do, you know, I think that they should be doing it. But this is all about finite resources. You could look at the other end of the argument, and we could start saying, right, well, you know, should we be spending money and treating very old people, for instance, because just by
Yeah.
the nature of the fact that they're old, you know, they're not going to
They're
get
not
much.
going to last, are they? Is it,
They're
you
not going
know,
to
is
last.
there.
So, could you build a case saying that, you know, oh, if you're over 90, you haven't got long left in you, so we're not going to go and chuck a new liver in you. So, you're just going to have to accept you're going to have to die.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that is, it's an you know, it's a
That is
pretty
effectively what they're
extreme
saying.
picture, but it's what you have to, you know, if you start saying, right, well, we're going to start setting these limits and set these rules and basically putting a price on life and quality of life in that way.
Yeah.
I think that's the only logical conclusion, is you're going to have to say, well, you know, if we're going to deny treatment to people for these reasons,
Yeah.
because the reason we're denying it is because we do not think it is worthwhile.
I mean, I look at it now, you know, on a personal example, as a friend of mine who is in his 80s and he's been diagnosed with cancer, and he's received chemotherapy treatment and radiotherapy treatment, both of which are very
Very
expensive.
expensive, yeah.
Now, you know, he's lived a great life. He's had a fantastic life. But following this logic, the doctors would be saying to him, "No, sorry, we're not going to treat you," and he would have actually already died by now.
Right.
And that would have robbed his family of those extra years. It would have robbed him, well, extra months, weeks, years, whatever. It would have robbed him of that extra time. And, you know, who are we to judge whether he's got quality, you know, whether that he's got quality of life or not, or whatever. You know, who are we to make that decision? There's a direct quote on here, which, well, it kind of shocks me really, that it comes from a doctor, which is, "The current route for treatment means that the most needy and deserving individuals often go without." How do you decide who is the most needy and deserving?
Yeah, I mean, I think people are looking at it in terms of, you know, young people who potentially could have, you know, a longer life. You know, that seems to be taking precedent over people who might.
Well, you know, the question I'd ask you, and I'm not trying to, you know, be philosophical or anything, but
Oh, no, please do.
when do you become an old person?
Yeah, I
You
mean, it's
know,
like the grains of
I mean,
sand in a pile, you know?
exactly. I mean, and let's face it. Now, at the end of the day, we're as a country, as a government now, we're encouraging people to work longer and longer. So whereas before we'd have said 65, well, that's retirement age, that's old. Where's the cut-off point now? Because surely, if somebody's working to they're 75, say, by that example, they're still adding value to the country. So, would they be refused care, or would
Yeah,
they
and I'm
be
glad you
allowed
brought
care?
that up, adding value, because surely giving something to society has this added value. And I'm sure that there's somebody could give more to society in 1 year of their later life than some people do in their entire lifetime.
Absolutely, Absolutely. So that's where I think it's a really, really difficult and rocky ground to say, well, let's differentiate between people. My very first reaction on reading the story, especially as a fat person myself, was actually, yeah, Sean does deserve the treatment. He's got two kids, he's got a family to raise, he's in a situation which isn't of his making because he's got type 2 diabetes. Yes, he deserves the treatment. But then I thought, well, who am I to actually say Doris doesn't deserve that? Who am I to make that decision and take away that chance at life for her?
Yeah, and ultimately it is a philosophical question because we must ask the question, what is worthy in general? What is a
Exactly.
worthy life in so much as what we do on a day-to-day
Because,
basis?
who's to say that she doesn't have that treatment and suddenly starts leading a worthy life, in inverted commas? So she gives up the smoking, she starts living more healthily, and by doing that, she prolongs her life for another 20 years.
Yeah, and say like in 10 years' time, she's out somewhere. And she jumps in the river and saves two kids or something, added value you wouldn't have had otherwise. I know it sounds, I'm taking it
Yeah,
to
it's going to
ridiculous
the extreme,
levels.
but that's the point, though, isn't it? That surgery could change her life that much, that she may, as I say, use that term, add value to society somewhere down the line.
Yeah, and again, value, pretty subjective thing. I to me it seems that everybody just wants to have kids. They look at that as the way to preserve or immortalize themselves, or to leave a reminder of themselves on this planet, is to have children. Now, there's other ways of achieving that, and not and they're not as destructive. They could be constructive, Anyway, yeah. So it's a difficult one, and I'm not going to pretend I have the answer to it.
No, it is a difficult one, but from my point of view, I think it's I would say I think it's wrong for doctors to make a decision to withhold or proceed with treatment based on how they perceive someone standing in life.
Yeah, and I don't think it is necessarily the doctors that make that are making those decisions. They're being pressured by people who hold the purse strings.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is why I mean I don't have the answers, because it is a fact that there's finite resources, and so in any other circumstances we have to make decisions based on that, which includes prioritization. And maybe the fact that just because it's uncomfortable for us to do it, does that necessarily make it the wrong thing to do?
Well, no, but I mean, for me, it's just all getting a bit, it's all getting a bit Brave New World or a bit Gattaca, to be honest with you, where, you're saying people have or haven't don't have the right to live. I find it disturbing, really, to be honest.
No, and I agree with your sentiments, but just part of me thinks, I whenever I'm looking at, reasons for thinking that this is good or this is bad, you got to try and cut out, the emotional bit, and just think the, sometimes you just got to be practical. Eventually, we will have to make those decisions. It's all right us, because we do live in, a Western country. We're doing pretty well. There's enough resources around at the moment.
Sure.
So it's easy for us to say how it's all wrong, but I just don't think people are going to have that
Luxury in the future.
luxury. No, definitely not. So as I said, I don't have the answers. It's just screwed up. Okay, I got one for you. This is Nadja Benesa. She's part of a group in Germany called No Angels.
Right, yeah.
Have you heard of
I
this?
have.
She's in court. For the equivalent of actual bodily harm, because she's HIV positive. She's been HIV positive for a while, and she slept with some guys knowing that she had carried the HIV virus. She kind of justified it to herself by saying that it was a low risk of passing it on. What a low risk is, or an acceptable risk is, I don't know. I mean, if someone told you they had HIV, what do you think? Would you think, ah, well, I'll do it once, it's low risk, I won't keep doing it because then I'm increasing my risk? Or would you just avoid it altogether?
I'd probably avoid it altogether, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So, obviously, the risk isn't as low as that, she made out. But obviously, because she's knowingly done it, that has implications there.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And I don't know, you think that, what, you think they should be throwing the book at her, or?
Absolutely. I think I would argue that actually charging her with actual bodily harm doesn't go far enough. I'd actually charge her with manslaughter, or I guess in America where they got the degrees of murder, maybe something like third degree murder, something like that.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I know it's in Germany, so I know it's slightly different, so I'm not sure how they work, but effectively she has infected those people with what could and probably will be a fatal disease for them.
Yeah. So you wouldn't use language as you wouldn't use the technical term like murder then, as in the way we use it, because.
I wouldn't use murder because I guess that would imply that in some way it was premeditated.
Was she not aware that she?
She might have been aware, but it doesn't necessarily mean she went. I don't think she went. From what I know of the story, I don't think she went out, as has happened in the past, where some people, men and women, have gone out and go, right, I'm going to affect as many people as I can with AIDS because I've got it and I caught it accidentally, so damn it, I'm going to get them back, the bastards.
Right.
You know, that is premeditated, whereas she was just selfish, which maybe is the same, you know, maybe could lead to the same sort of thing, I don't know, but I guess I don't think actual bodily harm goes far enough, is I
Right.
guess what I'm saying, and she should be charged with something much more severe.
I don't
Yeah,
really have anything to say. I
so
think I agree. I don't think it's murder, you know, on a technicality mind. It's almost as serious, but so I'd have to go with you on manslaughter
yeah.
at a
But
minimum.
I mean, I guess the thing is with manslaughter is accidental, isn't it? Manslaughter is kind of accidental death.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, you would argue that she knew she had HIV, and why she didn't set out to infect those people with HIV. Basically, something stronger than actual bodily harm, but, you know, maybe not actually murder.
Yeah, because the term unlawful killing comes to mind, but I think that that is the technical word for
Manslaughter.
murder,
Or
actually.
murder, isn't it?
Because murder is actually a technical term.
Yeah.
It's sorry, a legal term, rather than, you know, a lot of people throw it around, but it's actually a legal term. I don't know, not some people aren't aware of that. Yeah, so now we're pretty much in agreement on that one, aren't we?
Think so.
Do you want to go, or?
No, I've got another one. This one is, well, it's about our new government, actually. And
Was it 100 days today, is
no
it?
no well, I mean, there is that, but that's not what I wanted to talk about. What I wanted to talk about is, obviously, we're all aware that we need to have some drastic spending cuts. Now the coalition government is talking about suspending or capping or somehow slowing down what they have been dubbed as middle class benefits. So they're talking about benefits which are available to all, including things like child benefit and winter fuel payments to middle class people.
Right.
So I guess that would be means tested to decide who would be middle class or not. What's your initial reaction to that?
Yeah, I mean, I do have actually an opinion on this, which I don't know how similar it is to yours or not. I'm by no means like a capitalist scum or anything like that. You know, I do believe that, you know, where there's people who are destitute, you know, the state should help them.
Yep.
But then again, I'm also of the opinion that we should be helping the people that need it, but I'm also wary of unnecessary handouts which are fueled by some sort of sense of entitlement. And this is to
Yep.
my explanation for child benefit. The government wants to give this sort of, it's almost like bribe. You're bribing people to have kids or
Yeah.
something. That's how it feels to me. Personally, I think in the current state of the world that we're in, we should be trying to think the other way. We should be giving tax breaks to people who have fewer children, and you know, not rewarding people for spitting out loads of sprogs. And I know it sounds maybe a bit right wing, but I like to look at it as we need to manage.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was actually a study this week, kind of slightly off topic, but kind of tying in what you said there, that actually single people, is a myth about single people, that single people are better off than couples with children. And the study showed this week that's not actually the case. you know, because of the tax breaks which couples get, etc., etc., actually, couples are better off than single people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of a separate thing. But
sorry, the point, I maybe I've been a bit unclear. I think that giving money to people to have children doesn't make sense to me. For the simple reason that it's unfair on people that don't have children.
Yes, and I totally agree with you. I mean, this is... I guess I was kind of hoping for a little bit of disagreement possibly on this one. But I totally agree with what you're saying. In that, I think I'm 100% supportive of the welfare state. And I think where we have people who do deserve or who need, rather, support, then we have a duty to actually support those people. But then I also think that, as you've said, it is in some respects ludicrous that you can have somebody who earns, say, £14,000 a year claiming child benefit, and then you've got somebody who earns £500,000 a year claiming exactly the same benefit from exactly the same entitlement for their kids.
Right. And the reason for this, I think, is because they've called it child benefit because they want to make out that they're helping children. I mean, this is like sounds like some PR disaster gone wrong. They wanted to help children of poor families, so they called it child allowance. Okay?
Well, it's called family allowance, isn't it, is what it was called, family allowance.
Yeah. But then everyone said, well, I'm a family, so why don't I get a family allowance? If that's the reason for it, is it's for families.
Yeah.
So, of course, they had to extend it to the... So I don't think we should just be saying, well, families get special treatment for tax breaks or handouts, because that's not what welfare is about. Welfare is about...
Yeah, and it's not just a family payment. Obviously, you've got the fuel payments as well. Winter fuel payments. I think it's everyone who's over the age of 60 or 62, I think it is. I know it's 60 it is at the moment. Anyone who's over the age of 60 can claim winter fuel payments from the government.
Right. Even a millionaire like Monty Burns.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's not means test anyway. So I again find myself in agreement with the government at the moment. You know, it's something I never thought 100 days ago I'd find myself saying, but yet again I find myself in agreement with the government. The only thing which I would be wary of is where the threshold is set for what they consider to be middle class or not.
Yeah. I mean, depending where you live, I mean, how much you earn, you know, could put you in different brackets, really.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But yeah, I just think it's the welfare system gone a bit too far, and I don't know whether that's a sign of, you know, the Labour government, but I mean, these things have been around for a while.
Family allowance, child benefit's been around for donkey's years, you know, it's been a you know, a long time, you know, there, but I think the way society has changed with people living longer, with there being a higher population now, it is kind of unsustainable. I mean, the other thing which comes to my mind is in Wales, we're lucky enough to have free prescriptions.
Yeah.
Which is brilliant. You know, I have to get prescriptions every month, which would probably cost me between £30 to £40 a month.
Yeah.
If I had to pay for them. However, I get them for free.
I mean, that strikes me as something that should be on the NHS because it is healthcare.
But my point is, actually, because of the financial crisis and just in general, personally, I would have no issue with paying for my prescriptions. At the end of the day, I can afford it.
But what does the prescription pay? Is it just going to be really an admin cost by the time
it's a generic cost, isn't it? Because basically, you know, it's... I don't even know how much a prescription is now anymore, but last time I had to pay for a prescription, I think it was £6.
Yeah.
Which, you know, doesn't cover the cost of some drugs, but then there's other drugs which are produced more cheaply, which you still pay £6 for. So say you could get like some paracetamol, which, you know, figures being plucked out of the air, is made for a penny a tablet. You're still paying £6 for the box of it. But then if you've got something like chemotherapy then, which is thousands of pounds for treatment, you're still only paying £6 for it. Not that I'm saying cancer patients should pay for their treatment. That's just an example that I'm making there. So
yeah.
What I'm saying is I'm in a position where I can afford to pay for my prescriptions.
Right, so you
and
think
I,
that... You
and know. I would happily pay for my prescriptions, because if I'm paying for my prescriptions, and it means then that somebody who is less well off than myself is getting a free prescription because I'm paying for it, I'm more than happy to do that.
Yeah, I think you're... you're being, you know, the kind soul there. I don't think, unfortunately, I don't think everybody sees it that way. I think people are just naturally a bit more selfish than that.
Well, I think people generally are, but that's my point, is that, I do think we're very lucky to have the prescriptions in Wales. I think it's brilliant, but I think practically speaking, the NHS does burn through a lot of cash and could probably use that money where people could afford to pay for prescriptions elsewhere within the NHS. And I would much rather see that funding happen than me get my free prescriptions.
Yeah. No, I, well, yeah, I can definitely see where you're
And
coming
that's
from.
exactly the same then with the benefits. If I had children and I was in a position where I was comfortable enough that I didn't need really to have the child benefit, it was just an extra payment, which was a nice to have, then I would happily, again, I would happily forgo that if it meant that somebody who didn't have that sort of money, and for them it was the difference between, putting good food on the table or not, then I would say, yeah, absolutely, you have my child benefit as well.
Yeah, I can see where you come from. I might look at things slightly different. I look at things that, you know, when we were talking about helping out, you know, people who, you know, were poor and destitute or whatever, you know, those people are that way because they're a victim of circumstances. For instance, you know, you got no job, you're unemployed, so therefore you need welfare. However, when it comes to things like children and family tax credits and family allowances and tax breaks, you know, having children is your choice. So therefore, I don't think that there should be a benefit associated with children. There should only be a benefit associated with, you know, you can't afford, you know, if you've got lots of children and you're poor, then you're going to get help because you're poor, not because of the number of children you have. That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, which I agree with.
So therefore, and coming back to the prescriptions, I think that people that require prescriptions require them because they're a victim of circumstances. They have bad health, and so therefore, that is why I would say everybody should not have to pay for prescriptions. That's how I would argue that.
Yeah, I see your point. I mean, I guess it's a personal thought for myself. I just think it's a waste of money, really, for the government to be paying for me to have my prescriptions.
Yeah, I mean, for
Despite
example,
the fact
right?
that I need them, it's not as if, they're frivolous or anything like that. I need to have
No,
prescriptions, but
exactly, and that's why I think that they should all be free based on that. It's on requirements. Now, for example, right? And here's another one. You know, I'm gonna have a kid in December, right? Because of the changes of this government, I'm no longer gonna be entitled to this. It was like £150 that the government gave you for your
What, the
child,
£200,
£200. Yeah.
money to put in the savings account?
Now, I look at that. I don't care, to be honest. I th even, you know, before I had a child, you know, or even when I was thinking about it, when I thought I might have gotten it, I thought it was a terrible waste of money paying people to have children. It is ridiculous.
Well, it's not paying people to have children. That's not correct. What you're doing is you're saying, okay, or what the idea? I think the idea behind it was a very noble idea. I've got to be honest with you. I think the idea that actually cost of living is going up in this country and people are finding it difficult to manage, there's tuition fees, etc. Kids are finding it difficult to go to university, they find it difficult to get money together for a deposit on a house or a wedding or whatever. So what the government was saying is, okay, well, we'll give you a trust fund. There's £250. You put it into an account, it is your child's money, you cannot touch it, and that's in a trust fund until they come of age, and then they've got a lump sum of cash with which they can do whatever they want. I think very, very noble idea. I think, it's quite far-sighted. However, I also think it's completely unsustainable.
I think it's unpractical as well because I think you're talking about some kind of idealistic kind of everyone puts it into a high earner account and then out comes the cash and then yay, they don't have to pay for their tuition fees or something because it's all paid for. I don't see that happening in reality.
Well, no, absolutely. The idea is it's a starter. So the idea would be that parents would top it up when and where they can
I can't see
throughout
how.
the course of a child's life.
Yeah, I can't see how just giving a big payout in the start is going to make parents want to do it. If the government says something like, we'll match X amount of whatever funds you put away, that I might understand. But I just can't see how chucking £200 at somebody is going to make them save more money.
I'm not necessarily saying it did, but at the end of the day, there's plenty of kids now who are gonna get reach the age of 18, and they're gonna have a nice little lump sum of money because they've got it, and that's gonna make a difference in their lives. Which is, like I said, I think it's a beautiful idea. I just sadly don't think it's a very practical idea. I think it costs a lot of money.
It wasn't practical. It wasn't means tested.
No, again, going
You
back to
know?
what we were saying about the benefits there, you
So
know,
I'm just
it's.
thinking that that money could have gone to such better things that could have benefited
I
the people
totally
who
agree with
needed
you. You
it.
know, I'm not disputing that fact at all. I absolutely 100% agree with you. But my point is, I think the actual intention behind the idea is a good intention.
Well, yeah, I don't. I. Okay, so it was good intention. I still don't think that makes it a good idea. You know, just you know.
Yeah. No, it's fair enough.
So, yeah, I'm not. I. You know, I just wish they should just give more money to poor people, or maybe just give everyone else a bit of a tax break. You know, and I think, well, it's too late for that now, isn't it? We're all gonna feel the pinch. I mean, just going through the list today of the different areas of government and the public sector, education, and there's a lot of massive cuts coming along.
Oh, it's huge, and that's you know again why I can I absolutely support the government in what they're saying, in that you know things like child benefit and like winter fuel payments should be means tested.
Yeah. I think we're in for a rough time. I think a lot of people are still in denial about how bad this is going to be now, especially when they're, you know, taking a lot of money out of education, something which is quite stretched already.
Yeah.
I know they said that, you know, they ring fence the NHS, but still, I mean, increasing population, there should be more money going into the NHS year on year, and the same for education, same for everything. So to see up to 25% cuts in some departments, you know,
Yeah.
there's a lot of jobs going at the Ministry of Justice. It's we're you know, I think we're going to see some real misery ahead.
I think you're right. You know, we are in for a rough ride, and you know, I think in all fairness to the government, they haven't shied away from the fact that actually we are in for a rocky ride for a period of time.
Okay, I got a quickie,
Right.
and then I got a, and then I'll move on. But I just wanted to mention this. I put it on the blog. I did a little short post about you know, inviting people to give us some feedback
Yeah.
and stuff. But I also alluded to a little funny story that I found, and that was about eBay having an interesting product. Did you?
Yeah, I didn't follow the link. I saw it on the website. The Wiccan.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's you can buy anything on eBay these days, literally anything,
Yeah.
for sale. If you got help, sorry, if you got issues with maybe a bit too much fat on your bum, on your behind,
Yeah.
and you're thinking, what is the best way to lose weight? I mean, what would you think initially?
Sorry, just when the way you set that up, then all I've got going through my mind is if I've got a problem and I need some help, I'm going to call the A team.
Okay, apart from calling the A team, who would probably just turn up and tell you to go down the gym.
Yeah, Mr. T putting me through my paces. Look, if I've got a fat ass, I'm just going to go on a diet, basically.
Right, okay, or hit the gym,
Yeah,
like the A team
exactly.
would say. No, what you can do now is you can go onto eBay
Yeah.
and then you can get a powerful Wiccan witch to cast a spell to enhance your booty. Now, I just wanted to mention this quickly because, believe it or not, this seller has 99% positive feedback. So either there's something in it, and you know, we should be getting these Wiccans to cast a lot more spells. Maybe they can, you know,
World peace.
world peace would be a start, yeah. But or maybe they're just sticking to cosmetics these days. You know, they're keeping a low profile. You know, they don't want to use their magic for everything, do they?
No, quite.
So, but of all the things, and I just liked this particular product on eBay because they've actually used a very nice picture of a lady's bum in a bikini.
Oh, well, fair enough.
So, I mean, I had to drag my hand away from the buy now button.
Yeah, you don't actually buy the bikini-clad bum, though, John.
No, I know. Oh, there's the picture. You see that?
Oh, very nice,
It
trendy,
is very nice. So, you know, How much was it? It was only $8.95
so
for
that's what,
this
about
spell.
£5?
Yeah, so about five, for £5, you can have it. Unfortunately, as I said, it was 99% feedback. There's one person who was disappointed that the spell didn't work on their booty. So,
Damn.
I don't know. What do you think might have happened there?
I wouldn't like to hazard a guess, to be honest with you, John.
I mean, did the Wiccan stand over a cauldron or something? Maybe they didn't put enough Eye of Newt or something in there.
Pixie dust.
Okay, I'm going to go back to a serious story now. Right, now we've discussed this before, but this has kicked off this week again. Okay.
Right.
President Obama has come under fire because he's given his opinion on this mosque at Ground Zero again.
Right, okay, yeah.
Now, when I mentioned this before, I was mentioning it because I wanted to talk about how stupid Sarah Palin was.
That's right, yeah.
Do you remember how stupid she was?
Very stupid.
Right, okay. But what's happened is people are very upset that this mosque is going there.
Yeah.
And President Obama, to be fair to him, I mean, he's president for a reason.
Yeah.
He's pointed out to people that America is a great country because it's founded on some great principles,
Yeah.
enshrined in the Constitution. And, by saying that they don't want to allow people to have a building because they're Muslims, that is a big no-no in, to actually, for the government to enact a
It was the
law.
Muslims what done it.
Well, I said this to the missus when we were discussing it in the car on the way home today. What they're saying is, right, because the terrorists were Muslims,
Yeah.
therefore Muslims shouldn't be able to build their mosque on Ground Zero. But from what I remembered, right, all the terrorists were men. So does that mean that men shouldn't be able to have buildings at Ground Zero?
Evidently, you follow that logic.
Yeah. So in other words, it's just blatant racism. Well, not racism, it's just religious discrimination.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're willing to chuck out their very own constitution just to stop some people from building a mosque.
Yeah.
And
Which I think it should be interesting to point out that actually, I saw like plans for the site somewhere the other day. I can't remember where it was. I think it might have been off somebody's Twitter feed. It might have been a link from there. I'm not sure how tongue in cheek they were, but effectively, the place where they're talking about building the mosque is actually 2 blocks away
oh,
from Ground Zero.
yeah, it's not like where the towers used to be.
Not that it actually makes much of a difference,
No, it doesn't. It
but you
could
know,
be.
the point is, it's 2 blocks away. On the site, they're putting a Burger King.
Yeah,
You know,
I'd sooner
it,
campaign against that, to be honest.
exactly. You know, now how disrespectful is that? You know, you talk about you open up these big supermarket chains and these big sort of fast food chains and that on the site of the memorial. That's, you know, how many street hawkers are there as well? Let's face it, New York is well known for its, you know, street corner sellers. What about them when they rock up with their tacky get your 9/11 souvenirs here?
Yeah, well, I think what the far right's saying, and it is them that have fueled all this
Obviously.
usual fear mongering again, is that at least fast food and street hawks, hawking, it's all at least it's American. That's their point.
Yeah, they're
It's
just idiots, aren't they? Let's not beat around the bush. They are stupid people,
yeah.
absolute idiots. I think let's not forget that actually, a large number of Muslims also died
Yeah.
in the destruction of the Twin Towers. And I'm not just talking about, you know, the obvious the bombers. I'm talking about people who lived and worked in that district in
Yeah.
New York, who died, and they were Muslim. You
No,
know,
definitely.
white Americans were not the only victims of 9/11.
No. But they don't realize that. They're just all they're interested in is well, being unfair to other people, to a minority. And the problem is, again, and this is why the American Constitution is such a good thing, is because it foresaw this kind of thing.
Yeah.
A lot of the people that went to America went there for the very reason that they were religiously persecuted.
Yes.
So they went to the States, and the founding fathers said, right, and some of them were Christians, some of them Catholic, some of them were Church of England or Episcopalian, whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, there was all different people, and they went there because they'd been persecuted themselves. And but even though they may have had the chance to enshrine whatever their take on the world was, no, they set up the constitution to say the government does not make any decision based on that kind of thing, and I think it's a very good idea. But they're willing to chuck it all away.
But you know, the government, the Constitution also says, I believe, I'm not obviously that au fait with the American Constitution, but I believe it also says that people have a right to worship God, basically, and that's part of their freedom of expression, freedom of speech.
Yeah, it's the freedom of religion. Everyone has a right to it. You know, everyone has a right to believe what they want to do. And it's all about, as long as it doesn't interfere with other people.
So I guess these people have been unconstitutional by trying to oppose it.
Yeah. In fact, they're being un-American.
Exactly. Well, this unconstitutional American, same horse, really, isn't it?
And I wouldn't have really banged on about it again if it wasn't for the fact that it was the sheer number of people that have this opinion that this mosque shouldn't be built. You know, you're talking more than 50% of people polled. Now, whether it's
I think there was an interesting stat, though, wasn't there? That I think it was 68% of New Yorkers had no problem with the mosque being built
right.
at Ground Zero, but something like 51% of Americans, of the wider population, objected to it.
Yeah. So to me, that sounds like that kind of statistical anomaly could be explained by the fact that New York is quite a multicultural. It's one of the most multicultural parts of the
Absolutely.
US, and so there is this tolerance. Whereas, let's be fair, the rest of it is quite redneck, isn't it? And
Yeah, but let's be honest though. I know it affected lots of people around the world, but directly affecting the people affected by it were the people in New York.
yeah.
Now, they're saying we've got no problem with it.
Yeah.
So,
But the thing is, even if they did, even if a majority of New Yorkers said no, okay, you know, the idea was that this freedom of religion was considered more important than democracy. As in, it's not just it. You can't have the majority of people. You can't have the tyranny of the minority by the majority. You know, just because, you know, 80% of people think that all Muslims get kicked out of the country, it doesn't mean it's right to do so, does it?
No, I totally agree.
So, and that's what that constitution was there to do, and they obviously just don't care about it. And I personally think we should have something like that ourselves to protect everybody's freedoms. And they're just busy pissing it away. Oh, I tell you what, this week there's just so many things annoying me. It's unbelievable. Okay, here we go. Just for a bit of balance, okay? A couple accused of an adulterous affair are stoned to death.
Oh, let me guess, that was in Pakistan on the Afghan border. I
God.
believe it was from a story which I read, or it's certainly Taliban induced anyway.
Yeah. So, as usual, I mean, the thing is, I know it's on BBC News, so I treat it with a bit more respect than some other places. But at the same time, you know, I'm always wary of the fact that I might not have all the facts, because sometimes they just lead straight into what happened, and you're thinking, well, where's the preamble to this?
I did, just to interrupt you for a second, I did lose a little bit of respect for the BBC today.
Really?
I did. On their website, they were talking about the 100 days of the current government and
Yeah.
what could have been different if we'd had another, if some other government had formed out of the last election. And the photo they've got of there is of David Miliband. Yeah, I think it's David Miliband. And the caption underneath it was David Miliband could have been the country's second consecutive unelected prime minister.
Right.
That, to quote Peter Griffin, really grinds my gears.
Yeah, I mean, for a start, I
You
mean,
don't elect
elect the
prime
Prime
ministers
Minister.
in this country,
No.
and that's just bad journalism. It's really poor of the BBC to do that.
Yeah, it's not just bad journalism, but that's
It's
actually
factually incorrect.
it's factually incorrect. And making a statement like that, you usually have an agenda, because
Yeah.
that is painting it in a particular way, of saying that let's not forget, unelected prime ministers, they're bad. David Cameron, he was elected.
Yeah, of course he was.
So yeah, no,
So
that's not very good at all. Was that actually on a news article, or was there
yeah,
an
it was on
opinion
their news
piece?
article. Basically, you've got a picture.
Yeah.
So the article was 100 days, what would have been different had we had a different government
Yeah, yeah,
elected.
yeah.
And then there's a picture at the top end of David Miliband. It's effectively saying David Miliband could have been the second elected Prime Minister,
That is pretty shocking, to
which
be
I
honest.
was really disappointed for. And it sort
Did
of
you write a letter? Were you that annoyed and
I know I
angry?
still might.
Yeah,
I
'cause
hadn't actually written one at the moment, but I am still very seriously considering writing it, because I just think there's so little understanding already in this country of how the political system works,
even
that
though
an
they
organ
gave us a good rundown during the
yeah
last
that an
election.
organisation such as the BBC has got a duty to ensure that people are properly educated.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of statement I'd expect it from Sky News, but not.
Absolutely, I'd expect to see it on Sky News. I'd expect to see it in the Sun. Wouldn't expect to see it on the BBC News website.
No. Okay.
Sorry for digressing there, but
No,
that did
that's
wind me
probably.
up.
No, that's good. Well, this is called Think Rant, Just more ranting. Okay, well, it's the usual thing. Man and woman allegedly had an adulterous affair. Yeah, that's why I'm always wondering, was there a fair trial beforehand?
Let me see. Involved the Taliban? I'd say not.
No. So, happened in a crowded bazaar. The Taliban actually invited the residents. They were told
I think they
to
press
attend.
ganged them.
Yeah. And they actually tried to get people to actually stone them. In the end, it was just the Taliban doing the stoning from the report. So it's nice to see that maybe the public, aren't, that bad.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, it was in northern Afghanistan, So, what is with stoning? I mean,
Well, that is the prescribed punishment for adultery, be it in the Quran, the Bible, or the Jewish Torah.
and the Taliban seem to th I know you can't there's even if I had a phone and I could pick up and speak to the Taliban, there is nothing you could possibly say to actually make him see any kind of reason, is there?
No,
That's the
absolutely not.
scary thing about it to me, is
Yeah.
you could be somewhere and there's this person who you couldn't communicate with. Not just because of a language barrier,
No, I know exactly what you mean,
but like this fundamental different way of seeing the world. I mean, I think it's a great thing that people can differ massively on a point, and yet have so much in common.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree.
And but I would just hate to meet one
Well,
of these
we should
people.
be embracing diversity. I totally agree with you. I just think that, I mean, the Taliban, we know, are just a very, very scary group of people.
Yeah.
They are, for want of a better word, religious nutters.
Yeah, I mean, it just scares the crap out of me, and
I mean, even Muslims will say that actually, no, they're just idiots.
yeah, very powerful idiots, it seems, because
Well, they've got big guns.
yeah, they have got very big guns. I've seen them. But I mean, America and Britain have been there fighting them in guerrilla warfare, in
Yeah.
effect, and they're still going strong. They're still able to put on this show, hit the news, put fear into people.
Yeah. Well, that's the way they operate, isn't it? That's their best weapon is fear at the moment.
But it's kind of like that Mitchell and Webb look, when they're dressed up, when they're Nazis,
Yeah.
and then they just turn around one day and say, "Do you think we might be the bad guys?"
Yeah, it's exactly like that.
I just wonder if ever. Well, this is the problem. I just don't think that they wake up and think that for a second.
No,
I
that's
don't
right.
think they
No,
question.
because they believe they are absolutely 100% God-given correct.
Yeah, and that is just scary and so dangerous that. Okay, have you got something more light-hearted now?
No, not really, not light-hearted.
It's all depressing now,
Yeah,
is it?
well, look, I have got some stories, but I was going to say you carry on because you've obviously got quite a few this week, so you push on, that's fine.
Okay. I got one more story, but before we do it, there's a story that we need to do.
Okay.
It was suggested on the blog. A link was provided as well.
Yeah.
I can't remember who'd done it. Have you got it there? We'll look it up.
I'll get it now a second, hang on.
We got
I
to
think
give.
the guy or gal's name who posted it was it unintended, I think.
Yeah, that's his username, but.
So I don't know what the name
Oh,
was
no,
other
hang
than
on.
that.
Yeah, sorry. We get to see his real name because it's an email. We'll just call him unintended because he might not want us to say his name anyway. So this story, I followed the links and it went to the BBC website. It was a video report. And at first, I thought it was going to be another one of these great stories about how, the world's gone mad. There's a gentleman who he got booked for parking. He said that he hadn't been there for 2 hours. The guy dishing out the clamps and the fines said he had.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, instead of getting to the bottom of the facts, the story kind of went really off the wall.
It did. I seen the link myself.
Yeah, so it went from how this guy had been treated really unfairly and they wanted to take too much money off him and how the solicitors told him he was in the right. It went from a story like that to, well, he explained it as he was quite nonchalant about it after, because he seemed to think that it was a test
Yeah.
from Allah, because he was a Muslim, obviously.
And he's celebrating Ramadan at the moment.
Yeah, and obviously, he's so hungry, that I think he hallucinated the whole thing or something. I don't know, but he seems to think that Allah is up in wherever Allah chills out. I can't use the word clouds anymore because I know it upsets people. Or beard or something like that. But he's up there and he thought, oh, I'm so bored. What can I do? Oh, I know. Let's go and interfere in the lives of mortals again. What should I do? Should I start a war somewhere? Oh, no. I'm just fed up of genocide. There's too much of that in my name. Oh, what can I do? Something funny. Something that'll get me on telly. I know. I'm going to make a guy get his car clamped. How? How? Explain. I don't know. You probably can't explain,
Look,
but.
you can't explain it. I understand your cynicism. I
This
totally do. However, it's a matter of faith at the end of the day. And faith, unfortunately, can't always be explained away. Now, I mean, the fact of the story is that actually there was a clamping company in Wembley which is behaving reprehensibly. They've clamped a car which hasn't, or according to the owner of the car, hasn't been there for 2 hours. Well, they put a ticket on it. He disputed the ticket. They clamped him, and then they continued bully boy tactics, which I think is the real point of the story, is the fact that they, even whilst he was sat in the car, they kept putting fixed penalty notices on his car. They clamped all four wheels
Yeah.
on the car, and they had tow trucks standing by, waiting for him to get out of the car to tow the car away,
Yeah, because obviously they couldn't tow it for health and safety reasons, I'm
with him being
guessing.
in it.
No, I know that was
So that is
the
the I
story.
understand your point that you want to get on to the whole he believes the test from Allah because he's in Ramadan and that's the testing is part of it. The testing his patience is part of it.
But no, I'm not, I don't understand why I mean, do you look at everything and think, oh, God did that, God did that, God did that? Do you really think, do people?
Some people do.
So you don't though, do you? I mean,
No, I mean, I got
if you
this.
drop your
I don't,
keys.
but people do just totally believe in divine providence, and everything happens for a reason.
So then they don't believe in free will then?
No, evidently not.
Well, neither do I, but I do it for completely
But
different
you don't believe in
reasons.
free will for a different reason, but evidently not. They believe that everything is preordained, predestined, and
Yeah.
that's it. I mean, I kind of take your point on board. Allah
It's a
sat
bit
there
ridiculous.
going, well, I'm gonna clamp him to test him, but that's his faith, and I'm gonna refrain from mocking him because of it.
Oh, because
Because I well, I think faith is a very personal thing, and I think if this, I mean, if this guy is believes that, and that's part, you know, what he has faith in. Fair enough.
Yeah, hang on. Yeah, but I'm just going to call you on something here, okay, now. Because obviously, you know, I'm just highlighting this guy because he said something dumb, okay?
Well,
now,
no, in your opinion, he said something dumb.
Okay, no.
It is in your opinion. Because in his opinion,
yeah,
he's just seen it as a matter of faith.
Yeah,
but
I
in
know.
Your opinion, it's a case of why on earth would an all-powerful god be interested in testing this guy by clamping his car?
Right, exactly. No. I was calling you on the fact that you were reluctant to. You said, "Oh, I'm not going to mock him," right? And I just want to call you on that because I just think that there shouldn't. I think by definition, okay, things that are ridiculous are deserving of ridicule.
No, look.
And I just don't think we should have sacred cows. We shouldn't be
saying,
not going to mock him.
No,
because, you know,
if you want to mock him,
yeah,
that's fine. I'm not going to mock him. Which is me exercising my choice not to mock him.
No, that's fair enough. But it was the way that you declined to mock. It wasn't, I'm not going to be that. You should have just said, I'm not going to be petty. But you didn't. You said, I just don't want to hurt his feelings.
Well, no,
and
I don't.
Just think
because
that's a poor reason.
Well, no, I look at it and say, well, look, this guy is entitled to his belief and he's entitled to his faith. And if that's what he believes and that's what's happened.
I didn't ask you whether he was entitled to it. I asked you, did you think it was dumb?
Good luck to him.
Okay, but that wasn't what I asked. I didn't ask him. I didn't say, should he not?
But that's why I'm saying I'm not mocking him, because I think he's entitled to it. And
I think he's entitled to it.
I'm not going to mock him for it.
No, I think he's entitled to it. I still think it's batshit crazy, though.
Yeah, which is fine. That's your opinion. I don't, so I'm not going to mock him for it. That's
you
the point.
You don't think it's batshit crazy, right?
No.
Okay, that's it. All right, okay. Fine. That's fine by me. Did you have another story?
No.
You've probably seen this today. One of the country's leading doctors provoked a storm yesterday when he called on the government to decriminalise heroin.
Yes, I'd completely forgotten about this one. It's not just heroin, it's all drugs, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
You know, so we're not just talking about, you know, when I was talking about things like cannabis and ecstasy, things that are less harmful than alcohol.
No, I talk about everything.
He's talking about everything. And he's talking about it because he believes that the damage to society is greater with the prohibition than without. So he's using the old prohibition in America.
Yeah.
I mean, it basically, the crime went through the roof.
Absolutely.
Al Capone, you know.
I absolutely agree with the guy.
Yep, I do as well.
I cannot disagree with him at all. Prohibition, as evidenced by America when they went through the prohibition period.
And this country with drugs, you know.
Yeah, but particularly, I mean, looking at that as an example, prohibition doesn't work. You can't tell somebody you can't do it.
Well, you can. You can't.
No,
kill
you can
people,
tell. You can't enforce it, because all you're doing is you're creating a criminal underclass.
No.
Which is exactly what's then happened in this country. Is that we've said for years, drugs bad. No, you can't do them. You can't touch them. We're not going to allow you to take drugs. Drugs are going to be illegal. Has it stopped people taking drugs?
No.
Or has drug use increased over the last 10 years?
I think it's increased in line with population, at least. There might be some smaller factors, but in general it's increased.
I would argue that certain drug use has probably gone well above the trend of population.
Yeah, I don't have any statistics, but
I don't have statistics, I am speaking anecdotally, but I would say it is purely anecdotal what I'm saying, so it's got no basis, but from my point of view, the people I was growing up with we weren't exposed to drugs.
Right. Yeah.
Cocaine, weed, never really came across it.
Is that like a geographical thing? Is that because you were living in a rural area?
I don't know. But then I look at people then who were my age, who I'm now working with.
Yeah.
You know, when
in the city.
Yeah. So, but no, what I mean is they are now what I was, the age I was at the time. So they're sort of young 20s.
Right.
Yeah. And the amount of those people who do recreational drugs is a much greater proportion than it was when I was growing up.
Okay.
And I just think that actually, recreational drugs, things like cocaine, ecstasy, speed, weed, those type of things, I would say they've, you know, risen in usage exponentially.
Okay. Anecdotally.
Anecdotally,
now, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
But that would be my impression.
Yeah.
So I think it just adds fuel to the fire then, that prohibition doesn't work. And I think what you actually need to do is to decriminalise people and educate. give them the tools to make a decision as to whether something is right or wrong for them.
Yeah. And I mean, this guy, he's saying that, people who are addicted to drugs, should be treated as patients rather than criminals, which I agree with. I mean, why do people take drugs? These are the questions that we should be asking. We shouldn't be trying to just stop every. We shouldn't try to be the nanny state.
Well, no, people take drugs, don't they, for the natural high? They do it because they want something.
Yeah.
They
they've obviously
feel
got
good.
to this point in their life where, taking drugs is an option. It actually brings them some kind of relief
Yeah.
that they wouldn't otherwise get and that they would miss. So there's a reason for it, but instead of tackling the reasons yet again, they seem to think it's just better to, do it through rules by setting up laws and
Yeah, I
by
mean, look,
criminalizing
we've had the
people.
conversation before, haven't we, about the tobacco and how tobacco is much more harmful than certain prohibited drugs.
Yeah.
Said it before, I'll say it again. You decriminalize drugs and you tax it.
Tax it, yeah, for sure. They're trying to look for places to make some money as government.
You absolutely tax it. You bring in the same sort of, drink driving laws, you have drug driving laws,
Yeah.
but you actually decriminalize it and you tax it.
I mean, if somebody is dealing it who's not government sanctioned, in other words, they're illegal drugs,
Yeah,
as
you
in
bang them up.
bang them up, they should still be banging those people up. And this guy's not saying that we should just like let the dealers,
No,
deal on the
absolutely not.
streets.
He's talking about having a,
Government supply of
yeah.
drugs, yeah, and I'm all for that, and it needs to be done, for the heroin users alone. Because, believe it or not, methadone, which is given to them to,
Yeah.
is actually dangerous.
Yes.
More dangerous than heroin in its pure form. So what? WTF? Big time. We're saying that this is dangerous, you shouldn't be taking it, giving him something more dangerous.
Yeah, but not addictive, isn't it? That's the.
Well, yeah, but it's people have been treated as criminals, which I disagree with. And, we could reduce the hepatitis problems with needles and things
Yeah,
like that,
no, the comments that doctor was making, that guy's a health professional. He sees this from that side of
He's
things.
been on the front line.
Absolutely, and I absolutely agree with him. I think he's absolutely spot on. And let's not forget, the government advisor last year who came out and said the same thing.
Professor Nutt.
Yeah, Professor Nutt, and then was branded as a nut in all the paper, all the media, and was hung out to dry for expressing really what is a common sense opinion,
And
in my opinion.
yeah, and it's common sense to us. It's not common sense to everyone, obviously, otherwise this might not be an issue. But people really need to start thinking, right? When all the experts, the health experts, the scientists who research the drugs, when they're telling you that prohibition is bad and that these drugs have been unfairly vilified, that their effects are not as bad, why don't people take any notice of that? Why do they instead take notice of a couple of anecdotes, some stories in the papers, something a politician said? How does that carry more weight than what the experts say? It's a rhetorical question, Steve, don't worry about it. But I just, I'm just having it on a rant, and I just, these people, this is the public being dumb again.
Yes.
And I hate to use that word. Sorry. They've been stupid. If you don't like me calling you stupid,
Stop being stupid.
stop being stupid. I just.
John, I can't disagree with you. I mean, it's you've got experts in their field telling us that it will save money, it will help people,
It'll generate money.
and you can tax it. The government is so quick to tax anything.
They're missing
They're
the
missing a
biggest,
massive trick there. Because the other advantages of it are, then I suppose, is that if you think back to those people who died of ecstasy from about 15 years ago now, with the ecstasy overdoses
Yeah.
and died of ecstasy use, they died because what they took wasn't regulated. They died because what they had was either too strong a form of the drug, or was something else entirely being sold as that. And that came about because it wasn't regulated.
And even if you could say, right, there is this real number of deaths due to it, this small number of deaths,
Yeah. It still doesn't add up against smoking, does it?
You know, it's still, when you weigh it up against the deaths caused by tainted drugs, you know, adulterated stuff, dirty needles, all this, it's a no-brainer.
Absolutely, I
You
agree.
know, and again, it's about accepting this risk, smaller risk, and smaller damage over this, what is, you know, how many people's lives are ruined by, you know, the illegal drugs trade
Yeah.
now. You know, it's just ridiculous. But yeah, I knew we'd agree on that, so I thought we'd finish on a high rather than finishing on a low. So there you go. Right, that wraps it up for this week, unless you got anything else to say.
No, nothing else other than obviously follow us on Twitter at ThinkRant.
Yeah, Think Rant. That's Think Rant. No slash in it though, because they don't like slashes on
On
Twitter.
Twitter, no.
No. Yeah. Or again, the website, the blog, is stabler.tv. Obviously, this podcast will be on there. Hopefully, with some more feedback from people. Tell us what you think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing is, people, we know you have got thoughts on these matters, so don't be afraid to share them.
No, because whenever
Get
we
them on the
actually,
website, please
yeah.
do.
Because whenever we actually speak to people, like in real life, who've heard the podcast, they've got loads of ideas. But
Yeah.
you know, personally, I find it easier to go onto a blog, have a rant, tell people what they should be doing. You know, why not do it?
Yeah, pass comment.
Yes.
We've got broad shoulders. If you don't like it, tell us. If you don't agree with us, tell us.
Yeah, in fact, if you don't agree with us, definitely tell us. Anyway, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good night.
Compass in a world.